Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this regular meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we will begin tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance. Mayor Pro Tem McGurr, would you please lead us?
Can you please stand? Place your hand over your heart and recite the pledge along with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Beal.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem McGurr.
Here.
Councilmember Baer.
Here.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Here.
Councilmember Holloway.
Here.
Brings us to item one, which is our schedule of future events. Ms. City Manager.
Thank you very much. The first event to announce is on Saturday, May 24th, the City of Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services will be offering an e-bike and bicycle safety class. The event will take place from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at RSM Intermediate School. Participants will learn about rules and regulations pertaining to e-bikes and bicycles, vehicle code as it pertains to riders, knowledge of the do's and don'ts of e-bike and bicycle safety, and there will be an opportunity for questions from the child safety deputy and motor deputy. For more information, please visit our city website, and there are flyers located in the back of the council chambers. Next, City Hall will be closed on Monday, May 26th, in observance of Memorial Day. And then our third item is our fire prevention community meeting. On Wednesday, June 25th, the Office of Assemblymember Kate Sanchez, the City of Rancho Santa Margarita, and the Orange County Fire Authority will be hosting a fire safety and preparedness community meeting and readiness expo. The event will take place from 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Bell Tower Regional Community Center. This is a free event and no registration is required. The meeting will go over wildfire home resilience, evacuation preparedness, hands-on fire extinguisher demonstrations, smoke detector education, and animal preparedness. There will be booths from RSM CERT, Bee Fire Safe, Mission Viejo Animal Services, Southern California Edison, Orange County Fire Authority, Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services Crime Prevention, and OC Fire Watch. For more information, please visit our website. And again, flyers are located in the back of the room. And then finally, I'd like to add that the City of Rancho Santa Margarita is excited to host its first free compost giveaway. All residents and local businesses are welcome to take part. This nutrient-rich compost is ideal for enriching your garden soil and promoting sustainable practices. Visit the City Hall parking lot from Friday, May 16th through Sunday, May 18th to collect your free compost. The compost will be available for pickup beginning at 7 a.m. on Friday the 16th until supplies last or until concluded on the 18th. The compost will be available as a loose self-serve pile. Please bring your own shovels and containers. No staff will be on site to assist. For ADA accommodations or more information, please contact the county by emailing sb1383@ocwr.ocgov.com to coordinate pickup at their landfill sites. Again, additional information is listed on our website, and flyers are located in the back of the room. Thank you.
Thank you. Brings us to item two, council member comments and reports. 2.1 is council member comments. Anything to my left tonight?
Mayor Pro Tem. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank everyone who attended the Bradley Rofer Foundation Honor Walk a couple of weeks ago at the lake, honoring Bradley Rofer, number one, who the little boy who died in Coto, who was struck by a truck on the first day of school. And the second lap around the lake was to raise awareness and raise money for the issue of organ donation. As you may or may not know, Bradley, after his passing, saved a number of lives through organ donation, and it has progressed since then with the Bradley Rofer Foundation. They raised a lot of money and helped a lot of kids. So I want to thank everyone who appeared that rather cloudy morning last 2 weeks ago. Thank you.
Thank you. To my right, Carrie Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to give a reminder about the artwork created by students from RSM Intermediate that's currently on display in the Bell Tower Community Center through May 23rd. And this exhibition is sponsored by RSM Cares. Also, tomorrow, May 15th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Wood Ranch Grill is our Heroes Supporting Heroes event. And this event is where OC Sheriffs and OCFA will be at your service to support Special Olympics athletes of Orange County. And then I also want to talk about an opportunity I had to attend the Boys and Girls Club Reading Awards to honor students' growth and reading fluency in their monthly youth awards. From October to May, students read with local seniors twice a week, building skills and community. Thanks to Empowering Readers OC, they even got to take books home to grow their own libraries. The friendship between the seniors and kids was truly heartwarming to see and was a benefit to all the participants. I think it would be wonderful if we could look at ways that maybe we continue these types of partnerships for the youth in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Barrett. Nothing further. Okay, that brings us to item 2.2, committee assignment reports. We have none scheduled tonight. So that brings us to item 3, presentations and proclamations. And for this next presentation, Mayor Pro Tem, would you please join me in front? All right, as I mentioned, this is item 3.1, and these are certificates of recognition as part of our student recognition program. And to assist us with this special presentation tonight, I would first like to invite forward from Robinson Elementary School Principal Susie McMasters and any teachers or staff from the school that might be present. So tonight, we are very pleased to recognize the following students, and I'd request that you come forward when I call your name. First up is Cameron Cartez. And next up is Solana Cuenca. So first off, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Cameron Cartez. Cameron is a sixth grade student, and he has been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Robinson Elementary School. Cameron is an exemplary student who consistently demonstrates outstanding character and academic excellence. Cameron has a strong sense of responsibility both in and out of the classroom. Cameron excels in all academic areas and participates in extracurricular activities. All these attributes make Cameron a model student to his peers. So Cameron is the mayor of this city on behalf of all my city council colleagues and all the 50,000 residents of this great city. It's our pleasure and our honor tonight to recognize you and congratulate you on your many outstanding accomplishments. Congratulations. And now it's my pleasure to tell you about Solana Cuenca. Solana is a sixth grade student, and she has been selected for this special recognition by the staff at Robinson Elementary. Solana is a model student with outstanding character and dedication. She consistently demonstrates responsibility and always goes out of her way to help others. Solana approaches everything she does with positivity. And as a member of Robinson's United Club, she helps foster an inclusive community on campus. She is truly a role model for all of her peers. So Solana, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of all my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, it's our honor and privilege to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on your many outstanding achievements. Congratulations. Madam Principal, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you so much. I'm very proud of both of you. You guys set an excellent example for all of the Rattlers at Robinson. And our Rattlers, they are rad. They're respectful, accountable, and demonstrate empathy. And both of these young scholars definitely do that each and every day. So both of their teachers really wanted to be here tonight, but one of them is about to have a baby, and the other one is supporting her. So they are a tight, close-knit group in our sixth grade. So congratulations, both of you, and I'm super proud of you.
So we're going to pause now and take a few photos. First, we'll do a group photo with all of us, and then we could do Cameron's family is welcome to come forward. You're welcome to be in the picture as well. We'll do that by himself, and then we'll do Solana's, okay? So let's start off with the group photo. Cameron's family, if you want to be in the photo, you're more than welcome, and we'll be happy to take photos on your behalf. Solana's family, if anyone wants to come forward.
Of course. Thank you. Yes.
Congratulations. Cameron and Solana, I want you to know you do have a certificate of recognition from the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, but in addition, you have a special certificate of recognition from our state assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, who sends her congratulations from Sacramento to you. And also from our 38th District State Senator, Catherine Blakespear. So she sends her congratulations from Sacramento as well. Job well done, both of you. All right, this is item 3.2, which is a certificate of commendation to Orange County Sheriff's Department 2024 Deputy of the Year recipient, Deputy Brian Bertzlaff. And so at this time, I would like to invite forward our 2024 Deputy of the Year, Deputy Brian Bertzlaff. So, Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services has selected Deputy Brian Bertzlaff as the 2024 Deputy of the Year in recognition of his outstanding performance and exceptional service to our city. Deputy Bertzlaff began his career with the Orange County Sheriff's Department in June of 2016. Following his academy training and graduation, he was assigned to the Theo Lacey facility, where he quickly stood out for his hard work and diligence. And in July of 2020, Deputy Birchlaff transferred to Rancho Santa Margarita Police Services for patrol training. And upon successfully completing his training, he immediately began making a significant impact on the public safety right here in Rancho Santa Margarita. He is known amongst his peers as results-driven, dependable, and solution-oriented. Deputy Birchlaff consistently rises to any challenges and exhibits leadership that inspires confidence and respect within his team. Over the past 2 years, he has been recognized as one of our finest field training officers, investing over 1,200 training hours into guiding and mentoring new deputies. Deputy Birchlaff approaches the field training officer role with seriousness, passion, and dedication, always striving for excellence and encouraging lifelong learning both in himself and others. And currently, he is on the eligibility list to advance as a master field training officer. Recently, Deputy Birchlaff served with distinction as a member of the Special Enforcement Team, where he focused on proactive crime suppression, assisting investigative units, and fostering strong community relationships through outreach and participation in events such as our city's Citizens Academy. In critical incidents, he often is the go-to resource, demonstrating calmness under pressure and outstanding operational expertise. Deputy Birchlaff will soon lead the charge as one of the founding deputies in our new Community Services Unit, which is dedicated to solving community problems beyond the scope of normal patrol operations, enhancing neighborhood watch and business watch programs, and delivering exemplary police services to our residents, businesses, and visitors. And Deputy Birchlaff's unwavering dedication, exceptional integrity, and genuine care for this community exemplify the highest ideals of law enforcement. His tireless efforts and continuous pursuit of excellence have significantly enhanced our police department and strengthened the safety and trust of the community that they proudly serve. So, Deputy Birchlaff, as the mayor, on behalf of my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, it's our honor and privilege to recognize you tonight and congratulate you on your many outstanding accomplishments and a job really well done. Congratulations. Well done, sir. Chief, would you like to say anything?
Thank you, Mayor. You know, the Deputy of the Year Award, it exemplifies professionalism, leadership, and dedication to our community. And it's not just about statistics. It's about the leadership and the encouragement that we impart on our partners and that the impact that we have on the community members itself. You know, our sheriff says it well. He says, let's not forget about our family members. Let's not forget about them loaning Brian to us, because that's what they've done. So to the Birchlaff family, thank you for loaning Brian to us. Thank you for allowing him to protect and serve our communities. And Brian, you are an exceptional leader. This award is well deserving, and I'm proud of you. Congratulations.
We're going to pause once again for a photo op right here. I'll mention that you also have a special certificate of recognition from both our state assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, and our state senator, Catherine Blakespear, and they send their congratulations as well. Brian's family. If you're here and you'd like to get in a photo, we'd love to have you.
Very good.
The deputies, sheriff's department personnel, you're all welcome.
There we go.
Extended family.
Bring the whole team.
I can.
That brings us to item 3.3, which is a proclamation declaring the month of May through August as drowning prevention and awareness season. And to assist us with this presentation, I would like to invite forward Orange County Fire Authority Division Chief Shane Maul. In the United States, unintentional drowning has been and has seen a concerning rise, with over 4,500 deaths each year from 2020 to 2022, marking an increase of 500 annual fatalities compared to 2019. Drowning remains a leading cause of injury-related deaths among children under 5 years of age in California, with approximately 60 children in this age group losing their lives to drowning each year. Drowning incidents can occur silently and swiftly, often in as little as 20 to 60 seconds. Drowning can occur in as little as 2 inches of water. And among infants under 1 year old, two-thirds of all drownings occur in bathtubs. For every child who dies from drowning, another 7 receive emergency department care for non-fatal submersion injuries, which sadly can result in long-term disabilities. The theme of this year's water safety campaign, Always Watch the Water and Never Swim Alone, gives in-depth information that will be provided by staff on what Orange County residents can do to prevent drowning. The initiatives set forth in the ABCs of Water Safety Program will increase public awareness regarding proper procedures to prevent this needless tragedy. The Orange County Fire Authority will be taking this opportunity to increase public awareness about drowning prevention through a robust community outreach campaign. So as the mayor of this city, on behalf of the City Council, it is our pleasure to proclaim our participation in the Always Watch the Water and Never Swim Alone 2025 campaign that kicks off in May and will continue through August. By encouraging all families, parents, residents, schools, recreational facilities, businesses, and homeowner associations to work together to become partners in preparedness by increasing their knowledge of proper safety measures in drowning prevention. Division Chief Ball, would you say a few words for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, City Council, and City Staff. I appreciate this opportunity. As you all know, a few times throughout the year, we do get these proclamations to bring awareness, but this is truly my favorite one because this is the one that us as a group can work together to prevent. Sadly, all these drownings, most of these drownings are completely preventable, and they just happen really quickly, as was mentioned. And so we really need you guys to work with us. You guys have all heard the phrase that children drown without a sound. But having been on a lot of these incidents, sadly, they're traumatizing to everybody, and it really does happen like that. What I've never heard from somebody when I show up to these incidents is, yeah, we were just hanging out inside, didn't really know what was going on in the pool, and it just happened. It's always, man, we were right there. I turned around for 1 second and looked back, and the child was underwater or somebody was underwater. It happens just that fast. And that's why we really need you guys to partner with us for the water safety. Just some quick stats from these last couple years, just to kind of give you a glimpse of Orange County statistics. In 2024, there were 89 total drownings in Orange County alone. 45 of those were fatal, 44 were non-fatal. In 2025, there's already been 8 total, and we're just coming into the summer season now where everybody's going to be swimming. 6 of those were fatal and 2 non-fatal. I'm very happy to say that in RSM specifically, 2024, no drownings. So well done. Thank you to all you. No drowning so far in 2025. We're going to keep it that way. I know everybody's going to work together. And we do talk about the ABCs of water safety. So just so you guys know, and I'm happy there's some kids here too, because it's important for you guys to kind of always know this, is the A is active adult supervision. Make sure somebody is actively watching the water at all times. You want somebody always watching that water because it really does happen quickly. So if you're having a big party, have somebody take shifts watching the water. I always do when I have pool parties. I used to be a lifeguard, so I end up being the person that can't take my eyes off the water. But pick somebody to watch the water. The other one is barriers. You know, you can get the fences around the pools, especially if you have little ones. Barriers actually reduce their chance of children drowning in a pool by 83%. So they work. They're only as good as the door that closes on them, though, because we've had those sad ones where people are having a party, they have the fence, they think they're good. Somebody locks the fence open so that you don't have to keep opening and closing it. Make sure the fence is closed. And the other one is classes. Obviously, swim classes for kids are huge, but the other classes that you guys can participate in is CPR classes, things like that, so that you know what to do if this does happen. One really cool story that happened last week in Garden Grove. People were having a pool party. They had about 30 people there, 10 kids swimming in the pool. Everything's going on. Somebody noticed a child at the bottom of the pool, dove in, pulled the kid out. The kid was unconscious and not breathing. But fortunately, the person who pulled him out, the family member had done the CPR class, knew CPR, started CPR. By the time we got there and started our treatment, the kid actually woke up and started coughing water up before we even left to go to the hospital. Kid followed up to the hospital and is doing great. So it really does work if we work together to make sure somebody's watching the water and that you know what to do in the horrible circumstance that it does happen. So again, I appreciate this opportunity. It's a really important one, especially coming into summertime. So be safe, kids.
Thank you, Chief Mall. We're going to pose for a photo real quickly. All right, we have one more. Item 3.4 is a proclamation of National Public Works Week, May 18th to the 24th of this year. And to assist us with this presentation, I would like to invite forward the following staff members from our Public Works Department: Public Works Engineer, City Engineer Joe Parco; our Public Works Superintendent, Terry Gregory; and any other additional members of the Public Works staff that might be present. And from our good friends at PV Maintenance, I'd like to invite forward President Frank Garza, Project Manager Joe Garza, Lead Worker James Moore, Lead Worker Jorge Cruz, and any additional PV Maintenance team members that might be present. Public works professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are of vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to the public health, the high quality of life, and well-being of the people of Rancho Santa Margarita. These infrastructure facilities and services could not be provided without the dedicated efforts of public works professionals like these folks, all of them, who are engineers, managers, and employees at all levels of government and the private sector, and who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting our nation's transportation, water supply, water treatment, and solid waste systems, public buildings, and other structures and facilities that are essential for our citizens. It is in the public interest for the citizens, civic leaders, and the children in Rancho Santa Margarita to gain knowledge and to maintain an ongoing interest and understanding of the importance of public works and public works programs in our community. And the year 2025 marks the 65th annual National Public Works Week sponsored by the American Public Works Association. So therefore, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of my city council colleagues and all the residents of this great city, we are so honored and privileged to have all of you here so that we could take the time to thank you for all that you do to make our community such a great place and to just congratulate you for a job really well done. Thank you all. So, who'd like to say a few words? I'll start.
I'll let Joe start.
Sure. Joe?
Terry did it last year, so. I would actually just like to thank PV Maintenance. For those of you that don't know, they have been the city's maintenance contractor for 25 years, since the city's inception. And there is a reason for that. PV Maintenance is dependable. They perform all of their work tasks with absolute professionalism, day in and day out. It doesn't matter whether that task is big or small, whether it's fixing a faucet in the restroom, thanks Jorge, or whether it's fixing a pothole on Alicia, or as big as helping out with traffic control during the airport fires, as well as help with the cleanup with the aftermath of that fire. So I would just like to thank you, PV Maintenance, for your service.
Okay. All right. Let's gather close and we'll take a few pictures.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue on with our agenda tonight. We're now at item number 4, which is public comments. Council members, we do have one e-comment that was submitted by Mr. Chris McLaughlin, and he submitted to the City Council some comments relating to the toll roads. And we have a number of speakers tonight that are here in person that have asked to speak with us. So first up, I'm going to call forward Ms. Rhonda Reardon from Rancho Santa Margarita Christian School. Good evening, Rhonda. Welcome.
Good evening. Let's see. Thank you for turning it on. It's on, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's always a pleasure for me to come. I get to come to your meetings once a year because of all of these wonderful students. And so that's why I'm here tonight. But I just want to thank you. This has been an education. I mean, and I appreciate all that you do. It's amazing. And Jennifer, congratulations. I hear you're getting your PhD in government. Thank you. Anyhow, it's a pleasure to be here and to let you know that we have students that really want to know what is going on in the government. And they have two teachers that take care of them, walk them through certain things during when they're not here. Yesterday it was Laura Lopez, your wonderful public information officer, that shared with us the process that you all had to go through to get things back to normal, kind of normal, but the districts that we have to have now as city council members. And so it was a process watching that whole thing. But I want to let you know that we have, where are they? Okay, Kara Haverkamp, stand up please. And she's ready to also have a baby. Uh-huh. And Raquel Stitz. These are their teachers that walk them through all of the stuff that with ASB and all of that. So thank you. And I'm actually going to sit down and bring up Tyler Gray. And you are, come on. And you are, what is your function?
We don't have specific jobs.
Oh, okay. So maybe you want to talk about that and let them know what that is. Okay, I'm going to be sitting right here.
All right.
Okay, so he will be taking over from this point on, and we will see. If you have any questions, I bet they're going to answer them for you.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. Tyler, good evening. Welcome, young man.
Hello. My name is Tyler, and I'm part of the RSM Christian School 8th grade ASB team. I'd like to introduce the rest of the people. This is Bailey, Marina, Molly, and Hope. And then there's also Cameron, who sadly couldn't make it today. All of us have greatly enjoyed being a part of the ASB team and have really loved the opportunity to come here yesterday and learn about how all of you work and learn about local government. We really appreciated learning about your specific roles and how you run the city. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have another student that's going to speak tonight, and that is Bailey Baldwin. Hi, Bailey. Welcome.
Yes. Hello. My name is Bailey Baldwin. I'm in eighth grade and on ASB at RSM Christian School. I have attended RSM Christian School for 3 years, and I really appreciate how safe and secure our community is. Thank you for making wise decisions and doing great things for RSM. My school and I are forever grateful and will be praying for you all in the city. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you being here. I don't think I have any other students that have asked to speak. Is that correct? I heard Ms. Reardon say that you were really interested in learning about the city and how things work, so we're thrilled to have you tonight. And I'll mention that we meet on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday of every month, and you're always welcome to join us. 7 p.m. right here, the 2nd and 4th Wednesday.
And they already know how to fill out the forms to speak.
Great. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for being here. Okay, I have one other speaker request, and that is Christy Acuna.
Good
Good evening. Welcome, Christy.
Hi. Thank you, everyone, for having me. Okay. Good evening, members of the City Council, residents, and fellow community members. First, the people of Rancho Santa Margarita entrusted you with a responsibility to be the voice and the vote of the community. Unfortunately, many of us feel that this trust has been broken, particularly regarding the Boys and Girls Club issue. The majority of the City Council, except Carrie Barrett, failed many parents and families, including our own city manager, Jennifer Cervantes. The CEO of Boys and Girls Club has stated that 3 out of the 4 meetings went well until the last meeting when things went south. The Boys and Girls Club has decided to part ways, not because of their choice, but because this council has made it clear they were not welcome in the Bell Tower. This is unacceptable. You were elected by the community for the community. The power lies with us, the people, and that power is exercised through our voting rights. If you go against the community's needs and wants, we reserve the right to hold you accountable and vote you out. So my questions are, what is the future of the space occupied by the Boys and Girls Club in the Bell Tower? Now that they will no longer be there after August, what is this space used for? Our children need a safe, enriching place to gather, receive homework help, access mental health support, and build community. Will this space be affordable and accessible to all? Will it be free for those who cannot pay? We want assurances that our community needs are being prioritized and that this space will serve the best interests of our children and families. Secondly, on a separate issue, I want to address our city's lack of transparency, which is truly alarming. Currently, our city is one of 2 that does not film or record meetings. This lack of transparency prevents residents from knowing who is speaking and what decisions are being made and what discussions are happening. In fact, the OC newspaper the Voice of OC recently reached out to me for an interview about this very issue. This is not just a local thing. This is now becoming bigger than just local. It's gaining attention because transparency is fundamental to good governance. I ask, the next time a motion is made or a vote is taken, why isn't it being recorded? Why aren't we videoing these meetings so residents can stay informed? We'll continue to push for transparency until our city council members listen to the voices of the people you represent. That's all I have to say, and I'm glad that the kids were here that are interested in government get to hear another side of what happens when the people are not being served the way we asked to be. So thank you.
Thank you for those comments. I have no other speaker request cards, so we're going to move on to item 5, the consent calendar. All matters on the consent calendar are to be approved in a single motion unless a council member, member of the staff, or member of the public requests separate action on any specific item. Do we need to remove any items from the consent calendar? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
No, a second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. That motion carries unanimously. So that brings us now to item number 6, which are public hearing items. And 6.1 is the draft 2025 through 2029 consolidated plan, including the 25 to 26 annual action plan detailing the proposed use of the community development block grant funds and the 2025 to 2029 regional Orange County assessment of fair housing and amendments to the citizen participation plan. Ms. Kuda, good evening.
Thank you, Mayor Beal and members of the City Council. Yes, this is the one time every 5 years when we look at a number of plans and not just the annual action plan. Mike Linares, our CDBG consultant, is here to walk us through this tonight. Thank you.
Good evening, Mike. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Just have a short presentation, and then I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have. As indicated, this is the biggie that come here every 5 years. with this community development block grant program. So just very briefly, I know the council is aware of these. I was just here at your last council meeting, I believe, to discuss a preliminary expenditure plan, which is just a component of the bigger consolidated plan. So to begin with, just real briefly, a community development block grant. It's a federal grant that's administered through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. About 1,200 jurisdictions throughout the United States receive the funding. City has received CDBG funding since 2006. In order for an activity to be funded with CDBG, it needs to be, number one, eligible. HUD has a list of eligible type activities, but it also must meet one of the three national objectives, assisting individuals of low and moderate income, addressing urgent needs, and eliminating conditions of slum and blight. And the city's program is primarily focused on the benefit to or assisting low and moderate income residents. So every 5 years, the city is required to prepare a new consolidated plan. So since day one, the city has had such a plan in place. The consolidated plan is a 5-year strategic plan. It identifies housing and community needs, strategies on how these needs can be met, and also how CDBG funds can be used to address these needs. The current consolidated plan was approved in May of 2020, covered fiscal year 2021 through the current fiscal year. So we're in the last year of the current consolidated plan. The draft plan that's presented to you will cover fiscal year 25-26, the upcoming year, and then we'll run through fiscal year 29-30. Just very briefly, the components of the consolidated plan. There's a housing and community needs assessment. Again, kind of speaks for itself, the assessment of housing, community needs. Also looks at issues of homeless and special need populations. Includes a housing market analysis, condition of the city's housing stock. Also addresses resources that are available to prevent homelessness, assist those who are homeless, and again, special need populations. And it also includes an outline of barriers that may be preventing the development of affordable housing and fair housing impediments. The main crux of the consolidated plan is the strategic plan. Again, that's kind of outlines those strategies that the city will have in place over the next 5 years on how to use its CDBG funds to address needs. And then the annual action plan, the one-year component you can kind of look at is the one chapter of the consolidated plan that gets replaced every year. And that's typically when I come to the city council with that one-year action plan. And again, presented that preliminary plan for you for the next year at the previous council meeting. The current, the draft that's in, that's presented to you this evening is very similar in terms of priorities to the current plan. Basically identifies 5 general categories where funding will be directed. Public facility infrastructure improvements, mainly working with Public Works Department and doing capital projects throughout the city or in eligible areas. Housing preservation, which is the city's minor home repair program for seniors and disabled homeowners. Public service grants, and then services for preventing homelessness and addressing the needs of those that are already homeless, and then program administration, which includes the fair housing services. It also includes, like I said, the action plan for next year. This was the plan that we kind of discussed at the meeting the 23rd. Again, the categories, general funding are in 4 categories: capital improvements, housing preservation, public services, and administration. So you can see it kind of follows the 5-year goals as well. When I prepared the staff report and the PowerPoint, and last time I was here, HUD had not announced what the 25 allocations were yet. They had been approved. Typical HUD fashion. They posted that information this afternoon about noon. But I'm going to just go ahead and stick with these numbers for right now, just because the PowerPoint kind of has those already set up, but I will touch on what the grant will be. So if you may recall, we were estimating a grant of about $200,000 for next year, about a 4% reduction. There are 2 caps that the program must comply with: 15% for public services, the social service programs, no more than 20% for administration. The city also had some additional funds from prior years that were uncommitted that will be available. So the action plan that we presented to you last time, and that's in the current consolidated plan, is for a total of $232,305. I'm happy to let you know that the grant will actually be a little bit more than anticipated. So as I said, HUD published the information this afternoon, late this morning, I should say. So your grant will be $213,967. So you can see about $13,000, almost $14,000 more than we had anticipated. The two tables here basically compares the current year grant of $208 with what you will receive for next year, so about $5,600 more, so about a 2.6% increase in your current year grant. And then based on what we're planning on, anticipating the $200,000, see it's about $13,000, almost $14,000 more than anticipated, so about a 7% increase in funding. So as the staff report outlines, the staff is recommending that we will just take those figures that we presented to you previously based on the $200,000 figure and just adjust those upward by the 7% roughly would be the recommendation unless council has other direction. These pie charts are, this pie chart is again based on the $200,000. Again, basically there's going to be an additional $13,000. The public service grants will probably go up about $2,000, just a little under $2,100. Admin, maybe about $2,800. And it'll be about almost $9,000, a little more than $9,000 that will be available for capital projects. So all these numbers will, again, get increased just a little bit to capture that additional funding that we now know will be available. Again, the public services that we presented last time still recommended for funding. These grants will roughly go up. The two for $5,000 will probably go up to an additional $350. And then the one grant for $20,000 will probably go up another $1,400. Those are rough numbers. I still have to sit down and work out all the fractions and stuff, but you can kind of see how everything's just going to creep up just a little bit now that we have that new number. The other document that we're asking the council to hold the public hearing and then to authorize and to approve is the assessment to fair housing. Federal law, and as a recipient of CDBG funds, the city is required or prohibited from discriminating, but it's also required to actively affirm fair housing. State law also requires the city to affirm fair housing. A lot of that information is put into the city's housing element, as you may recall. This is not something new. The city has participated as in a regional plan for the last three cycles. So for this particular cycle, there were 33 cities plus the county that joined to prepare this plan. Costs were shared proportionally by population. And the consultant that prepared the plan analyzed a lot of housing community indicators. They looked at previous reports from the city's fair housing service provider to identify what types of fair housing issues are prevalent in the community. And then they developed a set of action steps that the city can take over the 5 years to address these impediments to fair housing. And they're basically mirror what's in the housing element. So there's really different approach that the consultant took this time. And pretty much across the board, most of the cities, as part of this plan, that housing element became the main driving force for that five-year plan on how we're going to address fair housing issues in the county. The other document that we're asking this evening for the council to consider is the citizen participation plan. This is, again, a plan that the city has had in place since day one when you started receiving CDBG funds. It outlines the processes, the policies that the city has in place to encourage community participation in the process. This spells out things such as your CDBG committee, how it's comprised, the role that it plays, holding public hearings, when are public notices posted, and things along those lines. It also has in there, let me follow a PowerPoint real quick. The last time it was updated was in 2020 when the city received CARES Act funding through the CDBG program. HUD required the city to go in and do some minor amendments to the citizen participation plan. There are three amendments that we're proposing this time. One of them is to increase the threshold for what HUD considers a substantial amendment to your consolidated plan or your action plan. And basically that just means HUD wants has requires the cities to establish that threshold where if you move money, a certain amount of money, that the public needs to be aware of that. through a 30-day comment period and a public hearing. They've always encouraged the city to make sure, not just the city, all communities, to have a significant dollar amount. So you're not running and doing these efforts just because you're moving $5,000, $2,000 here and there. We've had that threshold at 45% since day one, but HUD is encouraging cities to bump that up to a majority of your funds. So we're proposing to bump it up from 45% to 55%. In the years I've been working with the city, I think we've done maybe 2-3 substantial amendments over the years. So it's not something that happens very often. Usually if there's leftover money, we hold on to it. And like we are doing for the next year, we just include it with the new allocation. So you have a little bit more money for public works to be able to do a project. The other amendment is to is regarding the fair housing document. The previous version of the assessment of fair housing, which is what's before you this evening, was called the Analysis of Impediments to Fair Housing. HUD changed the title and some of the guts of the program, and the Citizen Participation Plan is supposed to have the rules on how we adopt and modify that document too. So the amendment is basically just adding reference to the AFH, the Affordable House, Affirmatively Fair, Assessment of Fair Housing, excuse me. It's just adding that reference to that, to the document. It's not making any other changes to that. And then there were some grammatical and some spelling things that we found that we just wanted to clean up as well. So this evening we're asking that the council hold the public hearing and then to adopt a resolution approving the 2025-2029 consolidated plan, including the 25-26 annual action plan, and then also adopting the assessment of fair housing and the amendments to the citizen participation plan. And with that, Mayor, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Linares. Great report. Council members, any questions for staff? To my right. Councilmember Figueroa.
Hi, Monica. How are you? Good to see you again. Just had a quick question on the minor home repair program. I'm not sure if this is directed to you or Cheryl, but could you just briefly review the guidelines for that program and how people can apply?
Yeah. Thank you, Councilmember. I'll be happy to answer that. So we partner with, the city partners with Habitat for Humanity. So any resident homeowner can contact Habitat. They actually have on their website a portal where it's pretty much an online application process. So the program here at the city is limited. It's a $5,000 grant for homeowners who are either senior or have a disability, and the improvements should be geared toward those needs. If someone needs some, some grab bars or things like that, elevated toilets, maybe things like that for a disability, that's what these things can be used for, as well as maybe just some, HUD doesn't like the term deferred maintenance, but it's just home maintenance that sometimes, especially lower income people, seniors, just don't have the capacity to do on their own. So this is kind of like a handyman type program that Habitat can come in and do those improvements on those homes.
Thanks, Mike. That's great info. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Seeing no other questions for staff, I'm going to open the public hearing at this time. And we'll begin by receiving public testimony. Council colleagues, I'll call your attention. We do have one e-comment that you each have before you from Chris McLaughlin with his thoughts on this item. And we have one speaker in person that's asked to address us, and that is Anna Conti. Good evening, Anna.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, council members, and city staff. My name is Anna Conti, and I'm the CEO of Family Assistance Ministries. And I'm here on behalf of individuals and families we serve through this program. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. We are requesting and in support of CDBG funding for the upcoming fiscal year to continue providing critical services to low-income Rancho Santa Margarita residents, services that often mean difference between staying housed and facing displacement. RSM is a beautiful place to live, but the rising cost of living, especially in California, housing prices and costs has left many working families vulnerable. One crisis, a medical bill, a car repair, a job loss can put everything at risk. We currently operate 10 master leased units here. Last year, we also served 233 RSM residents through more than 2,400 service encounters and provided over 320 hours of case management. Our modest funding requests support immediate urgent relief through rental and utility assistance, and long-term planning through personalized case management, helping residents build sustainable paths to stability. At FAM, CDBG funds are used as a supplemental source, strategically combined with other funding streams to maximize reach and results. Our focus is on lasting self-sufficiency, not dependency, and not short-term fixes. This work matters because the need is real, and we serve a critical gap in services that strengthen the entire community. At FAM, every meal shared, every roof offered, every skill taught, and every dollar given is a stepping stone towards a larger goal, restoring stability and rekindling hope for loved ones, neighbors, and our community members. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and for making a lasting impact for the residents of Rancho Santa Margarita.
Thank you, Anna. Appreciate your comments and all the great things you do for our community. Thanks for being here. I don't believe we have any other speaker request cards. Would anyone else care to speak on this item tonight? All right, seeing none, then I'm going to close the public hearing and turn this matter over to the council for discussion and deliberation. Council members, anyone care to begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to recognize the hard work that went into this thorough and complete document. There's a lot of information here that's important to so many people in the community. So, Cheryl, you and your staff, and Mike and everybody else that was involved in production, thank you so much for what you did. I will be supporting this item. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, for those who haven't read the item, the CDBG funds are going to go to three very well-deserving organizations, obviously Family Assistance Ministries, AgeWell Senior Services, and RSM Cares. And these are the organizations, to a great degree, which support the underprivileged in this community and the seniors in this community. There's a food bank first and third Wednesday of every month over here. It feeds a lot of people, 500 families per food bank event on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. And that's quite a bit of people. And quite frankly, a lot of those folks don't even live here in Rancho Santa Margarita. And I don't think the folks that are RSM Cares care. They're there to help people that need the help. So, Mike, thank you for the report. I appreciate it very much. I'm very pleased with the outcome, and I'll be supporting it as well.
Thank you. Councilmember Figueroa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mike, always good to see you every year on this, and you've been working on CDBG for a long time, and just wanted to thank all of our committee members that spend their time to evaluate, you know, all the proposals and so forth. Everybody does a great job, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also want to thank Cheryl and Mike for this very detailed report. Some of the things that when I read, and I just wanted to comment on them and bring them to attention because it was really surprising to me. The RSM median rent in February of 2025 was reported by Zillow $3,750 for our city of Rancho Santa Margarita. And then it talked about, and I need my glasses. Only 11% of county residents can afford the median priced home in quarter one of 2024. The median priced home was reported, I'm losing it here. I think it's $679,500. What it says is the median home value, and that was from 2020. I think we all know that it's gone up since then. and then to afford a median-priced one-bedroom apartment in 2024, an Orange County resident would need to make $45.08 per hour, and that's equivalent to an annual income of $93,700. So there's definitely a need in our area for these funds, but also I want to point out that our grant, and grateful that it came up 7%, is only $232,305 to do and support all of the need that's in our community. And so I think in the way that you have allocated it, I am happy to support that. I'm happy to see the three groups who applied for community funds receive those funds. I wish they could be more, but I'm glad to see that they at least increased 7%. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you, Councilmember Barrett. I'll echo the gratitude expressed by all of my council colleagues to everyone that participated in this process and bringing before this council tonight this consolidated plan and the amendments that are before us. I'll go ahead and at this time make a motion to adopt the staff's recommendation that we adopt the resolution as described in our agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you all.
Thanks, Mike.
Brings us to item 7, new business. We have none on our agenda. Continued items, we have none. So we're now at item number 9, public comments. This is the time to address the City Council on any matter that is not listed on our agenda tonight that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the city. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per person, and this segment shall not exceed 15 minutes. I have no speaker request cards at this time. Would anyone care to speak that's in the audience? All right, seeing none then, we're going to move on to item 10, the City Manager's Report. Ms. City Manager.
I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 11, matters presented by the mayor and council members. Council colleagues, anything tonight? To my right, nothing? Councilmember Figueroa.
I just wanted to follow up and just remind everybody again to come out to the Heroes Supporting Heroes event tomorrow night. This is a longstanding annual event at Wood Ranch Grill and in support of Special Olympics, and Orange County's Sheriff's Department, OCFA, will be there collecting your donations for Special Olympics. And even if you can only come by for 5 minutes, please do so. It's a great event, and they want to raise a lot of money for these wonderful athletes. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then. That concludes item 11 and our agenda. So we're going to adjourn. The next regular meeting of the City Council will be held Wednesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. right here in our council chambers. Thanks for your attendance. This meeting is adjourned.